What would be your impression of a traveler who had a AAA guidebook, but was always lost, always floundering in the darkness in the wrong alleyways? A good guide will lead you in the right direction, won't he? Is the Holy Spirit that kind of good guide? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. Our topic this week is an interesting one, bossing the Holy Spirit. Do we use the Holy Spirit, or does He use us? We have a helpful free book to send to you. It's entitled A Suitcase Full of Faith by Lonnie Melashenko and David Smith. Details in a few minutes, but first, let's hear from Lonnie with today's message. Where does the Spirit move you?
I snap my fingers and the Holy Spirit comes running. Friend, I don't know if any television preacher has ever said it just like that, but that's the philosophy you hear often on Christian airwaves here in 1996. That's right. Many sincere people who hold Bibles in their hands when they preach claim, or perhaps we should say, quote, name and claim, that by using the promises of Scripture in just the right way and by invoking the correct word formulas, well, they can pretty much dictate to the Holy Spirit what He's going to do for them. If they think a certain person ought to be healed, they demand it. And sometimes, as we who are back home watch on our television screens, it looks like the Holy Spirit obeys their command. A friend, we've been discussing together this week the statement made by a very cautious and respected student of the Holy Spirit's work and function, Pastor Gary Williams, author of several books on this topic. Here it is again, I'm quoting, "We are not to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to use us." It's very interesting to note that the temptation to use divine powers, or sometimes not so divine powers, for personal profit is an old, old game. Have you ever read in Acts chapter 16 about a slave girl who, as the Bible puts it, had a spirit? Not the Holy Spirit by any means, but an unseen power that gave her the ability to predict the future. Now, did she foretell futures for people just out of kindness? No. Verse 16 tells us that she had owners who earned a great deal of money out of this so-called gift. And when the Christian apostle Paul confronted her and by the power of Jesus Christ cast out of her that, quote, spirit, which was actually a demon, the owners were so upset over their lucrative practice being gone that they had Paul and Silas thrown into prison. Remember? Even today, you can see huge billboards advertising advice from spirits and psychic sources. They're in the yellow pages. Just recently, they've been on TV infomercials, where you can dial a 900 number and for a charge of several dollars per minute, someone in touch with unseen powers will try to use those powers in order to give you advice about your career or your romantic future. Many people today try to use the Holy Spirit or spirits from another source, and we can't help but notice that just about all of them accept Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Friend, is it right to try to use the Holy Spirit? If we want someone to be healed, can't we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to intervene? Every Thursday morning here at the Voice of Prophecy, as our staff kneels for our worldwide prayer circle, we certainly invite the Holy Spirit. In fact, we plead with Him to come into the lives of people who've written to us. Perhaps we've had the privilege of praying for you. Now, is that using the Holy Spirit? Or maybe we should ask, is that appropriately trying to use Him? My friend, let me say this. The Bible's filled with rich and detailed information about the goals and aims and agenda of the Holy Spirit. We mentioned some of that in our Monday study. And you and I are here to be used by God and by the Holy Spirit to further those aims. For example, leading men and women out of sin and into truth is one of the major objectives of this powerful person of the Godhead. I like the way two Bible verses link together to reveal to us the very heartbeat of the Holy Spirit's work. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, we discover that our Bible comes to us directly from the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Read it for yourself as I share from the original King James Version. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, now back to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, where Paul says this about those very words written in our Bibles. All Scripture is God-breathed or inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's verse 16, one of the hallmark statements of scriptural authority. So friend, if Scripture comes directly from the Holy Spirit, and if Scripture is given to us for the purpose of instructing and teaching us and leading us into righteousness, then it's a straightforward statement of logic to discover that this is the Holy Spirit's work. Friend, listen, He's not here to make us into millionaires, or to help us sell religious souvenirs or prayer cloths over the radio, or to help you glimpse into the future to see if you're going to get a raise at work or marry a movie star. No, the Holy Spirit's been given to us, to this misguided and deceived planet, for the purpose of leading us out of darkness and into light. Jesus Christ came to this world to make disciples, and when He left, He gave us the Holy Spirit to continue that very work. Well, let me share two quick anecdotes. One that's wonderful and, well, one that frankly worries me. But first, the good one, and this comes to us in the form of a letter written to the good Christian workers in our own Voice of Prophecy Bible Correspondence School, written by a 23-year-old named Norman. Here's what it says, and I'm quoting. As a child of 12 years of age, I started drinking and growing up too quick. By the time I reached 16, I'd already had 3 heart attacks from speed. At 18, my girlfriend got killed in a car accident because of drugs, and that sent me off the deep end. I tried killing myself every way possible. Finally, I came closer than ever. I sat there with a gun in my trailer for 6 hours. But my picture of Jesus on the wall seemed to be telling me, just go to sleep. And finally, I did. When I awoke, I shed tears of grief and the disappointment that Jesus had in me. Still, He must have a purpose in my life. I've been in a coma, had amnesia, a contusion of the brain, and 3 heart attacks. But friend, now listen to this. When I was in jail, I found a copy of your ad for the Discover Bible course and set in for it. Now I've been off drugs for 4 months and making a new life with Jesus in my heart. Amen. Isn't that a tremendous letter? And please notice 2 things. First of all, the Holy Spirit is actively moving this person into truth. He's not just experiencing a warm glow or studying horoscopes. Friends, He's digging into the Word of God and learning God's truth. He's moving from sin and slavery to drugs into holy, sober, obedient living. Now, friend, listen to me. That's the purpose and function of the Holy Spirit. And let's bear in mind a second exciting point. Think of those the Holy Spirit is using to help this young man. Let me say it again. We're not to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's to use us. Now think how the Holy Spirit is using both the authors of these scripturally based Bible lessons and the dedicated young Christians who are grading Norman's lessons each week and sending him encouraging mail and praying with him and for him. Are these men and women being used by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. And they're glad of it. Maybe some Christian bookstore sales clerk sold Norman that picture of Christ hanging on the wall. Or perhaps a friend or loving relative gave it to him. Furthermore, I don't know, but I hope Norman has the opportunity to tune in each day and listen to the Voice of Prophecy and allow Ken's and my daily Bible study presentations to be used by the Holy Spirit to lead this young man deeper and deeper into solid Bible truth. Friend, that's what we want to do, be used by the Holy Spirit. We're not here to ride in limousines or build a media empire. We simply want to say, along with people like Philip and the prophet Isaiah, here am I. Send me. Use me. Now, friend, a sobering point. There are those who believe they've encountered the Holy Spirit. You know, it's quite an experience. Maybe it's a tearful moment. And they feel something that seems very real. And whether or not they move into an experience where they are used by this new power or try to use it, they lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit is here to direct us into truth. He's not just sent to work miracles, friends. He's sent to move upon vines and lead us into discipleship. Here's my second little story, which is a tragic one. I had a friend once. I was just out of the seminary, studying the Bible with this little lady who used to attend the Angelus Temple near downtown Los Angeles. Now, she tapped into this power, began to try to use it. But friend, she did not open up her Bible and ask this new friend, the Holy Spirit, to lead her into truth. In fact, this person told me, "Lonnie, I don't need the Bible. Because if I don't have goosebumps going up and down my spine, I don't really believe it's religion. I don't care what the Bible says. I've had an experience." Friend, do you see why I describe that as a chilling response? What a tragedy if we try to use the Holy Spirit for our own human purposes, even spiritual purposes, and never get beyond the flyleaf of our Bible and into the 66 books that are in there. We've been saying all week, and we'll keep saying it, that four of the greatest words in the world are these, "Thy will be done," which brings to mind the great old Christian hymn by Adelaide Pollard, where in verse 4 we find this beautiful testimony, "Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me."
What a beautiful song that is, Lonnie. And the message is perfect for our discussion this week as we seek a relationship of total trust and cooperation with heaven. Friend, remember that we want to send you a gift copy of the book, A Suitcase Full of Faith, by Lonnie and our writer-producer, David Smith. For your free copy, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for A Suitcase Full of Faith. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055, with operators on duty 24 hours a day. And by the way, please remember to include the call letters of this station when you write or call. Lonnie, back to you.
Thank you, Kenneth. Well, friend, tomorrow we address a tough topic, and we have a powerful story from the recent bestseller, Dead Man Walking. Does the Holy Spirit help the hurting among us, or is that our job? Here's our title, Ducking Our Duty on Death Row. Until then, this is Lonnie Melashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it's always true, God loves you.
Margaret Unglaub was down in the dumps. It was hot, sticky, humid, sweaty, sweltering, oppressive. Her family had been sick. Her eyes were swollen. Her mind toyed with the miserable questions like, "Will I ever learn the language? Do these people really care if we're here or not? Are they only interested in us for what they can get out of us?" It happens to every missionary. Disillusionment. Trying to break the dreary spell, she went to the market. But there she ran into the old barrier. She was trying to buy mangoes, but the lady selling them didn't seem to understand. Just then, a local friend came over and took charge of the transaction. The friend began picking out mangoes and filling Margaret's bag. Margaret's first thought was, "I want to pick out my own mangoes." But she held her tongue. Then as Margaret went to pay for the mangoes, her friend brushed her hand away and paid for them herself. Thoroughly puzzled, Margaret then tried to hand the mangoes to the lady who had paid for them, but she just laughed, saying over and over, "It's for you." Does the kindness of missionaries count? Does it make an impact? One bag of mangoes says yes. For the Voice of Prophecy and Adventist Frontier Missions, this is Jan Judd.